Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. Jake Collins is a high school math teacher who soon will be an instructional technology coach. Jake is a huge proponent of PLCs, and you'll hear him explain why. He also will talk about his enhanced learning targets and using his online support tools to help kids be successful in math. Enjoy.
You are listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, a podcast for educators, helping you help kids achieve their dreams. And now here's Steve with this week's show.
Today I'm talking with Mr. Jake Collins. Mr. Collins is a third-generation teacher-coach. Jake is a math teacher with a wide range of experiences. Currently he is teaching classes like Geometry and Algebra 1 and 2 in a high school in Statesboro, Georgia. Additionally, he is the team leader of the 10th grade teachers, serves on the school leadership team, and is a huge proponent of the PLC movement. He understands the importance of collaboration with success in teaching. Jake started filming his math lessons and posting them on YouTube in 2009 during the H1N1 virus outbreak. One of the things that he noticed is that students who were missing weeks at a time, and he needed a way to reach them at home, and so YouTube worked out this way. As it turned out, students were using the videos not only when they were absent, but also when they needed remediation. Jake and another teacher also developed a student remediation enrichment tool he calls the Enhanced Learning Targets, or ELT. Jake's passion is helping new teachers discover how technology can make their lessons more engaging and student-centered. Currently, he is transitioning from a classroom teacher to a school instructional technology coach role. Jake has presented at a number of conferences and has worked with numerous school districts on PLCs. Say hi to everyone, Jake.
Hello.
Well, I appreciate you joining us. It's a beautiful day in South Georgia.
And That's right.
We're real close to the interstate. We're sitting outside of McDonald's. The sun's out. We've got a nice little breeze. And so any background noise you hear is...
75 degrees in February in South Georgia.
You got to love it. This is wintertime in the South. You never know what it's going to bring you one day. So, Jake, before we go any further, what do you like most about working with kids?
My thing, you know, that I still enjoy being in the classroom, introducing new material, and seeing the light come on in a kid's eyes when they finally understand a topic, when they're, you know, they've been in tutoring a number of times, and the light bulb comes on and it clicks. Seeing kids enjoy the mental exercise of mathematics is still very much my goal, my daily goal, and gives me quite a bit of satisfaction personally. I very much enjoy helping young people and seeing, you know, their goals in the classroom, but also outside of the classroom.
Awesome. That light bulb coming on moment is so awesome. I can't say enough about that. That's what I love that also. And I think that anybody who's a teacher, a classroom teacher, that's what you got to love the most, because working with kids, that's the best part, man.
It is. It's very, very enjoyable seeing students enjoy mathematics. And let's face it, you know, if they had to pick, sometimes mathematics might not be their favorite subject. But when they understand, you know, that we're solving problems, that we're doing mental exercise, and they see those concepts, and seeing how it all fits together is very satisfying to me when I see a kid make those connections.
That's awesome. You know, it's funny. By the way, I'm a former history teacher, all right?
So
you got to remember that from history to math, one of the things that kids do, they come into a math class and they go, why do we have to know this?
That's right.
So, you know, it's like...
daily question, for sure.
Yes, thank you very much, okay? So anyway, what do you think is one of the biggest challenges that teachers face in helping kids be successful?
There's quite a few challenges, you know, reaching the students, you know, in your classrooms. I talk about it, you know, the daily grind of, you know, the school year, the school day, you know, reaching students that are in poverty, that may not have all of the resources that other students have, differentiating and trying to reach the high, the middle, the low, and not just teaching to the middle, you know, flexible grouping on a consistent basis, you know, answering DeFore's four questions, you know, on a daily basis is difficult. It's a grind, but I think it's very much a worthwhile purpose, and students benefit when you are trying to reach every student in the classroom, when you are working hard to make things student-centered, to make things engaging, and not resting. You know, I'm constantly looking for new ways to assess students or new ways to present the material or, you know, some enrichment tool on a topic that I would love to get to, but I just don't have time to get to. So, you know, the students that are, that show proficiency, you know, it's a challenge to find enriching activities that will extend the lesson. But, you know, those students are the ones that are going to go on and be college graduates and doctors and lawyers, and we have to concentrate on those students as much as we concentrate on the students maybe that are below grade level, you know, in ways that we find remediation. You know, I try to spend equal amounts of time on the remediation activity as I do the enrichment activity, because I feel that they are equally important.
That's excellent. And actually, this is part of the excitement of working with kids, is that they're all different. And so you got to figure out how to put a lot of your time and energy into those activities, which are going to help them all.
Very much so. We do quite a few activities, group work, letting students choose what activities they want to do so that there's some choice involved, and just varying it up and not having, you know, we have a kind of a routine in our day, but giving them different activities to choose from, different activities that we do, seems to make student engagement much higher.
During the introduction, I told everybody about the YouTube videos that you started using when the kids were out sick, and started realizing there's more to this than just helping the kids get caught up after being out sick. Tell us a little bit about those videos, and are you still making them?
I am. I started in 2009. You know, students were being removed from school for a week at a time. We were on block scheduling, sometimes 2 weeks at a time, and it was very difficult for me to say, you know, here's the book, you know, look at these pages, try to do these problems and come back and I'll get you caught up, because we were talking, you know, dozens of students at a time. And on block scheduling, you know, we're covering two sections a day. It was very difficult. So I looked on YouTube and other places, and, you know, I found a lot of content, but it was, to me, it was either above grade level or college level, or it was, you know, below grade level, middle school level. And, you know, 2009, you know, there was stuff on YouTube, but not as much as there is today. And so I said, well, you know, I'll videotape myself and put myself on there, and I'll be able to say, okay, this was what we covered in class today. Watch this video, and when you come back to class, you'll be prepared. And so I started making a series of videos. My handle on YouTube was Mr. Coach Collins. You know, it quickly, you know, I was organizing them by topic. And, you know, I was able to make playlists and have the students watch a whole playlist. These were the days that you were out. This is the playlist that you need to watch to come back to class. And so the intended benefit was immediate, was for students that were absent. What quickly I found out was that students that were in class were going home and watching the video again for remediation. And I had a girl tell me, she said, Coach, I'm going to pass the test today because I watched that video 20 times last night. And so it dawned on me that students were using my videos at home to watch, to remediate. And, you know, maybe things went too fast for them in class, or, you know, maybe they needed to pause it to kind of catch up on their notes, or, you know, they're able to rewind it. You know, I developed over 100 videos on YouTube on various topics. And, of course, I'm not the only person on YouTube videotaping my math lessons. But for my students to be able to go home and see their teacher teaching the lesson, there was a benefit, and students enjoyed it. I had parents, you know, comment that they were in the living room and the students were in the kitchen watching the video, and they said, look, I need to hear Coach Collins' voice coming out of the kitchen, you know.
Nice.
And, you know, it was easy for me to do, you know, didn't cost a whole lot of money. You know, I burned up a couple cell phones making long videos and uploading them to YouTube. But I presented to the Board of Education in 2009, and they bought me a flip camera, and I proceeded to use it for a while, and I burned it up, you know, and You know, they've since bought me some better camcorders, high def, and a sound recorder to make a little bit better audio recording. And so I've developed my videos. I now have a little thing at the front, you know, that tells what school and how to reach me and things like that on there. But I still, when I introduce a new topic, if I don't have a video in my bank, I still whip out the camcorder and quickly videotape. And none of my videos are much more than 15, you know, 15 minutes or so. There might be an occasional 25-minute video. Some are as short as 3 or 4 minutes, just a short concept. And the students are able to watch those at home or on their phone or, you know, I mean, every smart TV that you buy nowadays has a YouTube app loaded on it.
Right.
And so, you know, I've had people comment from California or Texas that they watched a video, or I'm real big in Indonesia for some reason. I look at the analytics on the YouTube page and I have quite a following in Indonesia for some reason. But,
nice.
You know, it's kind of neat that I'm able to help students that I never come in contact with, you know, or help someone that I never will see face to face. But, you know, somebody said, well, you know, you need to monetize your YouTube page. And, you know, my goal is to help other people, help other kids. And so I'm really not interested in that. I put all my stuff out there for free for other people to see. And hopefully I'm able to help them with that.
That's awesome. And, you know, what's really cool is just like what you said, you're helping, you got people across the world who you're helping, and it's kind of a neat feeling. It's incredible how this technology has allowed us to stay interconnected like that. So kudos on that. I also mentioned that you developed a student remediation enrichment tool called Enhanced Learning Targets. What are these? And tell us a little bit about them.
In 2009, like I said, we weren't a Google district. I had to have a handle of Mr. Coach Collins because I was doing it on my own personal Gmail account. And we moved as a district towards Google. We, you know, the Google G Suite apps for education. We started doing that. And so I had my own YouTube page through my school email. And so, you know, I had to figure out, was I going to transfer everything over? Was I going to make new videos? And the answer to that is I kind of, you know, cobbled things together. And, you know, if I had a video maybe that wasn't quite as good or wasn't very good quality, I might redo it. But I started thinking about, you know, I had so many videos. I think I was up to 150 videos at one point. And I would tell the kids, you know, go to Mr. Coach Collins and search, or go to my YouTube page, Jake Collins YouTube page, and look. And it was very difficult for the students to know what we covered that day and to be able to go onto YouTube and find the particular video that they needed to watch. And so I was, you know, looking for a way to organize, and I had organized it by unit into playlists, but I was looking for a way to organize it by learning targets. And specific learning targets was a district initiative that was pushed out. We were doing essential questions before that. And so we moved towards learning targets, and I really embraced the learning target. Having, you know, a goal for myself that was written in student and parent friendly language on each individual target, you know, multiple learning targets associated with each individual standard. I had all of these documents in different places. And so I started to kind of put everything together, and it took a while, but I was able to kind of come up with this concept of one document that houses the standard, that houses the learning target, that has the date that I covered the learning target on it. They come right across, and then it has my YouTube video that is directly associated with that learning target. Then I put two more columns with other people's YouTube videos. Now, you know, 2017, there's lots of material on YouTube, and so I would go out and find other people's videos that are much better teachers than I am that can deliver the material in a different way. There's a guy, Yay Math. I use quite a bit of his stuff on there. MJ, I use some of his stuff. There's also a girl from MIT that I use, and you know, they have hundreds of thousands of views on their videos, and you know, they present the material in innovative ways. And so I have my video and then two more YouTube videos. Then they come right across. This is all linear, so they're in the same row. They come right across, and they're in the Khan Academy. I have the module in Khan Academy that is directly tied to that learning target. So if we're doing, you know, triangle congruence, I've got a video of me teaching it. I've got two more videos of other people teaching that exact learning target. Then I've got a Khan Academy module where they can practice, you know, proving that triangles are congruent. And so that coming right across, I have other resources. Sometimes it's a website called School Yourself. Sometimes I have worksheets and keys that are associated with that learning target. And Diana Johnson, my twin teacher, she and I developed the ELT in 2014, and she was the worksheet queen of the world. She had a worksheet on every learning target. I knew that she was probably not going to remain at the school, as her husband got transferred, and so we scanned in. She had them all, but they weren't electronically available, and so we scanned them in. We put them in there. These are worksheets that I don't maybe have time to get to in class, but I put them in the ELT, and it's like, you know, every teacher has a notebook with all of their materials, all their, in the old days it was transparencies, and all of their notes. Well, that notebook was on your shelf in your classroom, and no other teacher had access to that, or right. No other teacher, you know, no parent had access to those things. And so what the ELT does is it puts all of these things in one place for the student to be able to access by date. And so when they're absent, they're able to go into the ELT, see the day that they were absent, see the goal of what was taught in class. You know, the worst question ever is when a student returns after being out a day and says, did we do anything yesterday?
Right.
You know, so I'm able to respond with three letters and say ELT. Student goes to ISS, ELT. Students on hospital homebound, ELT. It's my curriculum map. It's my pacing guide. It's my learning targets. It's my, what are you doing for the kids that already understand the material, right? I have learning targets built out for concepts maybe that we don't have time to get to. It's what are you going to do for the students that don't understand the material, right? It's remediation.
Right.
I can say, hey, you know, how much time have you got? How much time have you spent in the ELT? Did you watch my video? Did you watch the other teacher's video? Did you practice in Khan Academy? Did you print a worksheet? You know, in order for a student to retest, they have to show me. We do an automatic retest the first time, but if a student wants to retest a second time, they have to show me that they have spent time in the ELT, either through Khan Academy or print a worksheet out and bring it to me. They have to show me that they have used these online resources to remediate.
That's awesome. The resources that you have there is insane. I've been there, and I'll take a screenshot of it so people can see what they're talking about, what you're talking about in the show notes. You know what? It's just so powerful because, and you're talking to a parent of guys who are now in college, but you know, it no longer can your kid come home and go, you know, I don't have any work to do tonight, and you can go, oh, yeah, let's go take a look at, you know.
Well, it's just been tremendous. I went to a 504 meeting last week, and the parents looked up, and she said, oh, you're that geometry teacher. And my heart sank. I said, oh, gosh, what have I done now? But she said, I want to brag on you. We use the ELT every night. She said, for the first time ever, I'm able to brush up on the concept that maybe I don't remember from high school by watching your video, and then I'm able to help my son. If he says he doesn't have any homework, then we print out a worksheet, and he does 5 or 10. We check him, and when we move on. And so a parent is able to help their child, and I'm not there. My tutoring, people coming to tutoring has dropped off dramatically because students are able to help themselves at home or on the bus or in the media center. You know, not all of our students have internet access, but we have Chromebooks at school. We're almost a 1-to-1 technology ratio at school, and they're able to go to the lab, or they're able to go to the media center, or if they finish up 15 minutes early in a class, they're able. This is a tool that I'm able to help students without having to see them face to face. The last thing that I'll say on the videos is, you know, I'm walking in the morning. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. I walk past We've got a brand new geometry teacher right next door to me, and I walk past her room to unlock my door to go in my classroom, and I hear my voice coming out of her room.
Nice.
She's in there watching my video as a prep prior to teaching the lesson that day.
Awesome.
You know, because all of it's built out, she can see ahead of time. And so her lessons, not that she has to watch mine or whatever, but she's able to pick up on pointers, or, you know, if I, in the video, if I say, okay, here's a common mistake that students are able to make, you know, she's operating not at a rookie level, she's operating at a 5 or even 10 year veteran level, because she's able to collaborate off of what we're doing, and I don't have to sit down with her. She's able to, you know, benefit from my years of experience by watching my video or looking in the ELT or seeing what learning target, you know, she's supposed to be covering that day.
That's excellent. So it's a resource not only for kids and parents, but also for other teachers. You gotta love that.
Not only at our school, but at other schools.
Right.
You know, I have other teachers, you know, our resource teacher, you know, normally, you know, they may not have the same planning as us. They're able to see the ELT. They're able to see exactly what we're teaching at what level, and the level that which they're able to teach their class. I mean, they may not be math certified, but they can, I mean, they graduated from college, and so they're able to follow along in the ELT. And, you know, I can't tell you how much they appreciate the fact, you know, I get it quite often. I wish that the other teachers would have an ELT, you know, and we're working on that. We're slowly, you know, and it doesn't have to follow my template exactly, but teachers are realizing that, you know, you've got to be able to have your information in a way that other people can easily access it and share and collaborate. And if we collaborate, if we all have a mindset of collaboration and we don't care who gets the credit, and I'm going to share this great activity that I developed and I'm going to put it out there for free for everybody to see, I think everybody benefits. And
you're,
I know,
sure,
I benefit when people share back with me.
Yeah, you're so right. That is awesome. And I'm going to use that to transition into the next part, because you start talking about, you know, teachers collaborating, kind of working and using these resources. You know, let's use that to go on and talk about something that's near and dear to your heart, which is PLCs. And so as we transition into PLCs, one of the things I want you to do is tell us how you define it, what you're talking about, so that everybody who's listening knows that we're talking about the same thing, and why a teacher should care about what you're talking about.
PLCs are not new. They've been around a long time. When I think of PLCs, the number one word that I think of is collaboration. When I got to Statesboro High, well, first off, I started my career at Walton High School in Cobb County. And I was so fortunate to start off at such a great school. It's rated consistently one of the best schools in the country. I didn't have a computer in my classroom at all when I first started. I walked in, I had a great Algebra 1 team. They said, here's the test that you're going to give in 2 weeks. We're all given the same test. We want you to teach it however you want, but come next Friday, this is the test that you're going to give. And then after you give this test, we're all going to sit down and we're going to talk about how your students did and what we need to do, you know, moving forward. How can we remediate the students that didn't get it the first time? So we had common assessments. We were looking at data. We were collaborating. This is 20 years ago. And so, you know, I'm a big proponent of technology. Technology is important to PLCs, but it's not critical. You can do everything involved in a PLC without technology. Technology just makes things a lot easier. And nowadays, we have so many tools, some of them free, some of them not. But we have so many tools to help teachers do those things, to, you know, talk about learning target and what exactly that they want to be able to teach at what level, making sure that their curriculum is guaranteed and viable, that we're all going to teach this material at this level. And it doesn't matter whose class the student is in, the same material is going to be taught at the same levels. Then we're going to give common formative and summative assessments, and we're going to look at that data. I want, you know, a lot of teachers, you know, think that PLCs take away their autonomy, you know, that we're all robots and we're all teaching the same thing. We're teaching the same thing, and we're going to assess using the same instrument, but I want you to teach it differently. I want you to do a different activity than what I'm doing, because let me tell you something. I'm going to look at your data, and if you blew me out of the water on the data, I'm going to steal your activity. I'm going to teach my kids using the method that you did or the instructional practice that you did. I'm looking at formative data prior to the summative. We collaborate together on the assessment, and then we look at data after the assessment. You know, we see where the students did, student by student and standard by standard, and then we flexible group. We come together in our PLCs and we flexible group to remediate the students that didn't get the material by standard. Then we enrich the students that did get the mastered 80 and up. The material, we enrich those students. And, you know, one period I might have the enrichment group and the next period I have the remediation group. And as long as we can try to stay as equal as possible, then it works out. If you have a mindset that you don't care who gets the credit, and when I have a classroom full of students in my classroom, whether they be mine or someone else's, if I'm doing everything I can to introduce that material in a different way, or show them a neat trick that might help them, and they're not necessarily my students, then everybody benefits.
That's awesome. Now, you've had quite a bit of success with PLCs, so much so that there was an actual study with a company that took a look at those successes, and if it's okay, I'll provide a link to that study. So
sure.
Can you talk a little bit about some of that success?
In 13-14 was the first year of analytic geometry at Statesboro High. We had 39% pass the EOC. And then the next year, I didn't teach it that year. I taught trig, 11th grade trigonometry that year. Well, the next year, I worked with Diana Johnson. We collaborated. We had an outstanding PLC. Everything we did was, you know, all of our summative assessments were the same. We worked tremendously hard that year, and it was the second year that the course was taught, but we were able to improve our scores collectively to 72%, and then my personal rate was 80%. And so year over year, that resulted in an 89% improvement rate. You know, I attribute that to a lot of different things, using PLCs. We also purchased a data warehouse, and using that data warehouse, and which it had higher rigor questions on it, and we were able to assess our students at a higher level with DOKs, twos and threes, instead of ones and twos mostly. But we worked really hard and had a tremendous success rate and bump in our assessment scores.
Very nice. And just want to, real quick, I want to make sure that there's a bunch of initials used in there. So EOCs for everyone is in a course test, right?
That's correct.
And DOK being depth of knowledge, Webb's depth of knowledge.
I'm sorry. Yes, that's right.
Sorry, I just want to make sure that we pointed that out. If you had a chance to talk to school principals and teachers, what would you say to them to convince them that they should try and implement the PLC process?
Well, you know, with administrators, and more are understanding the importance of collaboration. When I came to Statesboro High, there were five different geometry teachers teaching five different things, assessing it on five different tests, and there was zero collaboration. Everybody was going back in their room and doing, you know, the best that they could do, but there wasn't a spirit of collaboration. You know, a rising tide raises all ships. And when you collaborate and three people get in there and they say, this is what I think this standard is saying, and we break it down and we come together on what our learning target is going to be based on this standard, or we hand-pick items to be on the test and we say, this is a great question. This really assesses whether or not the student understands this material. Student achievement has to improve. You know, because collectively we are all better than we are individually. And so, you know, I'm a huge proponent of collaboration, of working together. And that's why I offer my stuff for free. That's why it's all out there, because I feel like I benefit when other people share their ideas and their great thing that they've developed. I benefit from that. And I enjoy helping other teachers see you know, how I can make their lives easier, whether it be through technology or whether it be through collaboration. I really enjoy helping other teachers make their jobs easier.
That's excellent. There's also something to be said for the idea of working together, right? I had the opportunity as a teacher to work in a school where we were teamed in the high school level. And that was so awesome, working with other teachers on a team in a typical high school. That's not the typical aspect of it. So bringing everybody together to work, to plan, to generate the resources, to come, you know, to figure out how to address, you know, to use each other to figure out how to address the needs of the kids. What a really cool concept. And that's, you know, the PLC kind of hits straight to that. And I appreciate you sharing all that. What I'd like to do now is I'd like to transition into something that you know, you're looking at transitioning from the classroom into a technology support position for the school. And, you know, one of the things I'd like you to talk about is the challenges that teachers face with technology and how you hope to help them.
You know, it's always my goal. I did some tech today in our SLC meeting, our small learning community, which is just grade level, you know, all different academics together. We meet on our PLCs on Tuesday, our SLCs on Thursday. But in our SLC today, I gave a tech, and, you know, I try to keep it short and sweet. I try to show them how this might help them. What I talked about today was Google Translate. And I said, look, you know, we have a large Korean population here at school. And, you know, this is a tool that's free that you might be able to use to communicate with a student in your classroom or, you know, a parent at home. I try to show them, you know, small bits of technology, and I try to show them how it can make their jobs easier and benefit them and their students. I always know that it's a good piece of tech that I've shared if teachers come back after the meeting and say, hey, show me that again. Or, you know, I tried to call a parent and use that Google Translate, but I couldn't get it going on my phone. Can you show it again? And so the meeting after the meeting, the follow-up is where I know I've got them hooked. And I've always been a tech gadget guy. And I think that, you know, it's not the end all to be all. You know, you can still do PLCs without this particular program or without technology. And like I said, we did it at Walton High School with no computers. I just think that technology can make our lives easier and reach more students. I mean, our students are so embedded in the world of technology, and we have to be fluent in that language and in order to stay up with them. I'm very passionate about helping students and teachers become more comfortable with technology.
Love it. Thank you. You know, we're getting close to wrapping everything up. You've talked about so many different ways of supporting what the classroom teacher is doing in the school and in their content area. Before we switch to my last two questions, that are totally off the topic, by the way, if a listener would like to reach out to you, Jake, what would be the best way?
I think my email, my school email, jcollins@bullockschools.org, it's bullockschools, plural, .org, would be the best way. But also you can reach me through Mr. Coach Collins on YouTube or on my Jake Collins on YouTube. We also have an outstanding geometry website where you can find all of our ELTs. And that, I think if you just Google SHS geometry, it should pop up. It does for us at our school. I would hope that someone else would be able to find it. If not, Statesboro High Geometry, it's a Google site, so that it should pop up.
Excellent. And I'll put links to all of those in the show notes. So it'll be easy for anyone listening to just take a look at the show notes, and you'll see links to get you there. So, Jake, here are my last two questions. If you were given the chance to talk with 100 brand new teachers who haven't started teaching yet, what advice would you give them?
Well, I think it's a great question, and I've had the opportunity to speak to Bullock County's new teacher induction program last year. I've also led some aspiring leaders talks, and you know, there's a number of things that I think I could say and give tips on. I'm a third generation coach. My dad was a longtime football and track coach at Statesboro High. My grandfather, Bob Collins, was a lifelong teacher and coach at Martin County High School, Stewart High School, and then Martin County High School in South Florida. And, you know, I feel like I'm in a coaching role, you know, in coaching up young teachers. The number one thing that I would say is don't be afraid to ask questions and collaborate with teachers about a wide variety of things. Asking for help or asking, hey, can you give me some advice on a parent conference? I have a parent conference tomorrow afternoon. What advice can you give me? And being open to suggestions and learning from the people that have been doing this a long time, valuing their feedback, you know, and you have to, it has to be a good relationship has to be formed before you're going to value that feedback. Looking for ways to lean on others, you know, and collaborate with others, you know, that's what I'm all about. I feel like I've said it a bunch today, but that's the number one thing. There's nothing wrong. I enjoy, like, our young geometry teacher. She brings new things to the table and, you know, things that she's learning in her college classes and ideas. I very much enjoy that back and forth. But, I think that she has an outstanding mindset of, you know, learning from the people that have been there. I was very fortunate to have some outstanding mentors. Trudy Donovan was one of them, John Flatt and Dennis Jordan, Ed Dudley, some outstanding people at Walton High School that helped mold me into the teacher leader that I am now.
Well, that's cool. And that's going to transition right into my last question, which is, do you have a teacher in your past who made a difference in your life? And if given a chance to say thank you, who would it be and what would you say?
First off, both my parents were career teachers. Like I've said, my dad was a longtime teacher and coach. All I ever wanted to do growing up was emulate him, and I'm still trying to get there. He was an outstanding role model. But my mom also was a lifelong teacher. She taught at Willow Hill early in her career, and then she had the opportunity to teach at Marvin Pittman Laboratory School on the campus of Georgia Southern, where student teachers came to do their practicums, and she, you know, kept her very young and fresh with new ideas right there embedded in the college. Coming from a teaching family, both my parents, tremendous role models that I still rely on to this day. In addition to my parents, my math teaching mentors would be two teachers. Pat Collins was my Algebra 2 teacher, a coach, and a teacher. And then also Julian Deal was my trigonometry teacher in 11th grade at Statesboro High. He was the department head. And I think I model quite a bit of my teaching style after both of them. I've had the opportunity to tell them both, but I would relish the opportunity to let them know how much they meant to me and how much I model and my teaching style after both of them. They're both tremendous. They were both tremendous teachers, but more importantly, they were tremendous role models for me. You know, I think it's very important to have those people, the giants, I kind of call them sometimes, that you look up to, that you know that you'll never reach their level of competency, but I'm still trying. I'm still trying to emulate my idols.
That's awesome. I can't thank you enough. Well, Jake, you shared with us some incredible resources that I'll have links to in the show notes. We've talked about the power of the PLC and your enhanced learning targets, and I just can't thank you enough for spending time with us today, and I wish you the best in all your endeavors.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jake.
We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes.
Hey, did you know that we're now available on Google Play Music? That's right. You can now find Teaching Learning Leading K-12 on Google Play Music. Check us out.